Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to talk to any of my guests, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme in the second hour is making it. Each of my guests is discussing their plan for success in life and in business. My first guest explains how to succeed in life without really trying. We'll discuss what he learned along the way from his book, The Accidental Millionaire. My second guest teaches others how to make their lives and careers blast off. We'll talk about life coaching as a way to achieve maximum success. My third guest will show us the way to real estate riches. He's not spouting theory. He spent over half of his life growing wealth through real estate. We'll discuss why this is an unprecedented time to buy and flip houses. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Gary Fong's path to professional photography career was highly unexpected. He has a degree in pharmacology. Gary worked in hospitals, labs, emergency rooms, pathology departments, anticipating a career as a physician. All of this changed, however, when he decided, for richer or poorer, to begin a career as a wedding photographer simply because he wanted to be around happier people. Breaking the news to his first-generation Asian parents as an only child was not easy. They presented a unique challenge. He had to show that in 1 year he could earn more than a doctor could, or he would have to go to medical school. Now, so starting with just $254, a camera, and in one of the small bedrooms in his parents' apartment, he developed an album presentation style that he called The Storybook, and it became a huge success. Gary went on to become an internationally renowned photographer whose photographic assignments, and he's had lectures around the globe as well. His celebrity and clientele built quickly. Photographing the cover of President Ronald Reagan's memoir books was one of the highlights of his career. Gary spent up to a third of a typical year in Europe. He's fluent in both Spanish and French. Welcome to the show, Gary. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Or I should say, because you're fluent in French, bienvenue. Gary, are you there? Did we lose you?
No, I'm here, yeah.
Oh, there you are. All right, well, good. Great. So let's talk about your book, The Accidental Millionaire, How to Succeed in Life Without Really Trying. It's a memoir of your life and photography. So what has life taught you that others can learn from?
Well, a big moment for me happened about in the middle of the book. The first part of the book dealt with, like, having to live in poverty and struggle and everything like that. So that made me a really goal-oriented person. I got into this this groove with Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so I was one of those people that played the cassette in my car all day long and just those affirmations, and, you know, I've got to set goals, and I've got to, you know, plan and target and have a deadline on the goals and put leverage against myself. And so I lived that way for quite a while. And had some goals. One is to get out of the poverty that I experienced. I never wanted to be rich. I just wanted to not be broke like what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I got onto all these goal-setting things. And then around the middle of the book, I realized that every goal that I'd ever set, I failed at. And there was one stroke of bad luck where everything completely went wrong. Lost my marriage. She had a great divorce attorney, and then so I was, not only was I broke, I was hundreds of thousands of dollars under. And I knew that I would never be able to save and get back on my feet probably for the rest of my life, so there was no use in having any dreams. And around that time, I was just so wrapped up in my own grief about my failed expectations that I almost hit this car, almost rear-ended this Subaru XT, and it had a bumper sticker that said, "Since I gave up hope, I feel much better."
All right.
I had no choice but to give up hope because, you know, nothing I was doing was working. And I tell you, I couldn't have put more effort into trying to become a successful person. 20 hours a day, just, you know, just the sheer desire just to not be broke. Anyway, I gave up, left kind of everything behind, rented out rooms in my house, went down to Club Med in the Bahamas and was teaching tennis. I think they paid like $600 a month. For all of about a month, and then I came back into the real world and said, you know what, I don't care a flip about anything anymore, it just doesn't matter. No goals, no expectations, and then from that point on, and this is where the second part of the book, Accidental Millionaire, shows where the accidents come in. The path that my career took from that point on is just so silly and odd and weird and funky, and they all start by complete accidents.
Well, give us some ideas, because in your life you have been an innovator, you have been a successful photographer, you've got several products that are famous, and of course you have personally photographed some of the richest, most famous people in the country. So tell us about some of those happy coincidences or those happy accidents that you had.
Well, for example, on the thing that I'm probably most well known for is the Light Sphere. If you go to any camera store, you'll see my products. And that one is very, very interesting because I was on a plane. It was an Alaska Airlines flight. And inside the magazine, it had this ad that said, "We make plastic parts out of your ideas." And I'm thinking, this is next to the casino ads, rent-a-car ads, and you've got plastic injection molding? I mean, seriously, I thought it was the worst advertising campaign I ever saw in my life. So I thought, I'm going to have to do business with these guys because nobody else is going to do it. You know, that started the wheels turning, and then I thought, on the flash thing, you know, when digital photography came out, when you take a picture, and this is the case now, everybody looks like they're about to get hit by a train because you got this direct flash pointed at you, and it's really unflattering. So basically what I thought was, you know, why don't we have, like, a lampshade for flash rather than have something just point a harsh direct flashlight at people's faces? Let's stick a lampshade on top of the flash and make the light softer. And that's basically what the idea was. It was just a complete joke in a way, but I just thought, why doesn't somebody do that? And then that went on to be huge.
We're talking to Gary Fong. The Accidental Millionaire is his book. We're talking about his product, the Light Sphere. Now, Gary, did you have any experience in manufacturing, any experience in product design, in marketing something like this? Or did you? How did this all come to be? How did it become the number one selling product of its category?
So no design experience, no experience in inventing, no experience in anything. And it's amazing. People go, well, what do I do next? Like, okay, so do I need to get a warehouse? Do I need to get a patent? And I think people get really stuck in these thoughts of doing something big. And I say, first you need some orders to fill. And then once you have orders to fill, then you'll figure the whole thing out. And that's basically what I did. I just made some and then had them in my house, not knowing if they were going to sell. Then all of a sudden, yes, they did sell, and then more sold and everything like that. But it goes back to this this expectation-driven thing. A couple real key nuggets of my book is found in the end, because the book seems really random. I mean, I invent plastic things by seeing an ad on a magazine on an airplane or whatever, become a wedding photographer because, you know, I just want to be around happy people. The nugget, the take-home lesson, is that if you have expectations and goals, it's if you achieve them, you're merely satisfied, and that's what I found. If I had a goal to say, I want to have $100,000 in the bank by this day, I'll never make it in time. I always didn't, and then I'd be disappointed. But when I had no expectations at all whatsoever in anything, it was impossible for me to be disappointed. And having that void not being focused on anything was just awesome.
All right, well, that's great. We're talking to Gary Fong, the Accidental Millionaire. How to Succeed in Life Without Really Trying is the subtext on his book. And, Gary, you do have some great stories. One you haven't told yet that I want to come to is your story about the $240,000 paperweight. And what makes this interesting, this is another one like the Light Sphere, where you were betting on the come, and you made this product a success. So tell us the story about the $240,000 paperweight.
Oh, yeah. So, I come back from a trip in a vacation, and I'm seeing this one-hour photo lab print my photos on what appeared to be a digital machine. And this is back before there was any such thing as digital anything. Everything was film onto paper. And I looked at it, and I saw a computer monitor, and I just thought, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing, but I must have it. So I called Fuji, and I said, whatever it is, I must have it, I must have it. So they said, okay, it's $240,000 now. So they installed it in my photography studio, and I realized that I don't have the power or the drainage you need. You know, it was going to cost a fortune to stick it in the studio because it was a commercial piece of equipment. So I'm stuck there with nowhere to go on it. And then my friend started one of the first photo sharing sites. And this is way, way back. But they would put up wedding photos, and you would pick them, and the photographer would, you know, send the order to you. Mm-hmm. But nobody was printing it. And I just said, you know what you guys need? You guys really need to print. You need to print in-house. And basically what I was, you know, in a way I was trying to dump my problem. And then that turned into me owning a part of the company. And then a few years later, it sold to a large venture firm for, I think, about $30-some-odd million.
Oh, my goodness. That is a payday. Gary, your life is replete with examples of you having your back against the wall and then somehow turning lemons, making lemonade out of lemons. And I'll give you an example. Your first success was the storybook, and that was after you had decided to become a wedding photographer. Prior to that, you had prepared your entire life to be in pharmacology, to become a physician of some kind, and you made the ultimatum, if you will, to your parents that if you didn't make as much money as a photographer that you would have as a doctor, then you would go back to medical school and you'd follow that original path. So you always seem to be putting a challenge in front of yourself, like that challenge for the photography, the $240,000 paperweight, even the Light Sphere. You seem to do things and then success follows you. Expand on that a little bit. How is it that you are able to come up with such creative thinking about different ways of looking at products when your back is against the wall like that?
Great question. And this came from an emergency room physician. This one day we had three car accidents, and there were all these people laying around. We only had two stations. And I watched him just very, very calmly, not freak out, decide who was going to live, who was not going to, you know, make it and things like that, and just patch them together. And when that was done, he did a phenomenal job. And I said, how can you not freak out? I mean, we're short-staffed here. You're the only physician. Everybody here needs you to live. And you're just calmly doing your job. And he said, you know what I realized? He said, in my job, I have to focus on the process and not the outcome. As long as I focus on the process and not the outcome, then I'll do my job. And that became a metaphor for other things. Just like I say, when you don't have goals and expectations, it's a very liberating way to live. It's the same thing with crisis. If you're going, oh my gosh, I've got six people here and they're all going to die, and what am I going to do? Oh no, no, it's all up to me. You're thinking about the outcome. If you think, I've got to control the bleeding, I've got to restore the airway, I've got to, you know, it's just a very, very calm, methodical approach of following a process, then you won't be impatient, you'll do the right things, and all the right things you'll probably already know how to do, so.
What a great philosophy, Gary. You know who else had that philosophy? Coach John Wooden, the great UCLA basketball coach, he didn't worry about wins and losses. He said, focus on the process, focus on doing the fundamentals correctly, and you'll be pleasantly surprised with the outcome. And that appears to have been the case in your life as well. We're talking to Gary Fong, author of the book, The Accidental Millionaire, How to Succeed in Life Without Really Trying. And Gary, you've got a connection here to Ventura County, and that connection is Ronald Reagan. You photographed President Reagan for his memoir, and as you probably know, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library is located right here in Simi Valley, California, in Ventura County. So give us a glimpse. Tell us the story of what it was like as a world-famous photographer to go in and to sign. Your assignment was to photograph Ronald Reagan. How did that go?
Well, it was interesting because that was actually down at the Fox building down in Century City. And what happened was he had just moved in, and he got this big Simon & Schuster deal. And so I was sent over. and I didn't bring any film. I was just so freaking excited, you know. And then so I got there, and so there I am, ready, you know, ready to start my shooting. I didn't have any film, so I needed to call my studio to have them bring over film. And Mr. Reagan didn't know how to work the phones. And so I'm sitting there, and he's sitting there, and he goes, oh, I don't know which one to push or whatever. And I said, he goes, you know, we would always have somebody do this for us. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank goodness, because this could be, you know, nukes flying in from Russia, and he can't.
Oh, amazing.
That was that little story about that. But, you know, the funny thing about whenever you meet somebody really famous like the president, the first thing I've noticed, and I know you've met famous people too, is they seem like three-dimensional robots.
How so?
Like, well, they seem like great moments with Mr. Lincoln at Disney. I don't know. It's just like, wow, it actually moves. It's an animatron of President Bush. And, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. When you see them in newspaper print and all that, when you see them in person, it's just a weird thing.
It is.
Then you get over it.
It is. It's one of those things you have to get over your shock and your envy at all of that as well. We're talking to Gary Fong, The Accidental Millionaire, How to Succeed in Life Without Really Trying is his book. Gary, one last question before I let you go, and it's one that I ask many authors. What did you get out of writing The Accidental Millionaire?
I got a clarity on what it was that I actually did, because all of these years, if you read the book, you'll see that it's complete happenstance. I'm just walking around one day and I see something. And I go, "Ooh, let's walk over there and see what happens." And it turns into a business. When I went through the process of writing the memoir and editing it, I started to realize that the real message that I had was not having goals, not having expectations, and that was the secret of my success.
I love it. We've been talking to Gary Fong, The Accidental Millionaire, How to Succeed in Life Without Really Trying. Gary, if people are intrigued about your book, they're intrigued about some of the stories in your life, where would you direct them to go on the internet to learn more?
They can go to any of their major retailers like Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I've got a website, GaryFongAccidentalMillionaire.com, and that shows, I'm going to put this interview up there for all of our friends to see. And then, you know, TV interviews and excerpts from the book and where to buy.
That's great. Gary Fong, TheAccidentalMillionaire.com. Gary, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.